Nice from Norway, hookers in the hallway. Fiends tap dancing on the strip like it's Broadway. Ask the $100 joint, inhale the info. 10% on the limo, doing endos. Farm raised gold. Yo, farm raised goat, arm length tucked in a coat. 06 series bucket approach, three stripes on the leather, powder puffing the nose. Say you feel my pain, really, motherfucker, you don't. I'm on some out of body. Out of body with the shaman in the jungle. Never cry over curdled milk, dipping convertible. Ride the leather neck, full length Persian twill. Shoot the tremble on, accompanied by herbal pill. Gotta get it, gotta get it quick. Fuck a good, or she on the look for better dick. I'm off the hook, dog, you fucking with a veteran. Think different, express my sentiment. Put you in a sediment.
Play never, seats in the Mercedes leather. She thinks she bad, ain't nothing you can tell her. I ain't no regular nigga. If you see me with a bitch, you know she lucky I'm with her. She know she lucky I'm with her. Like a hungry motherfucker with a bucket of chicken. Heels clicking from Beverly Hills to Hell's Kitchen. The 20 cell spell is lifted. The text hell different. The sex is a given. The fish scale is sniffed off the dishes. Murder material. 38 scraped cereal. They sat down and ate cereal. Motherfuckers is like Soundboy Burial. Fly face tone, still vagina Grace Jones. My favorite clothes is my ace in the hole. Some basic hoe, I'm never taking her home. My statue naked in Rome. The 650 Beamer run 80 long. Switch whips, 456. 456. Switch whips, 456. 456. Switch whips, 456. 456, switch whips, 456.
Good evening and welcome to the very first episode of the Straight Talks podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Throughout this 30-minute podcast, I will try to entertain, inform, and keep an open mind when discussing issues that I feel strongly about. I will eventually try to make this into a one-hour live show, which I would take callers and have people write in at the same time on Twitter, depending on the popularity and the subscribers. But we're going to take this one step at a time, because it's the first time I've ever done anything like this. So never podcast or even recorded audio before, so... Like I said, we'll take it one step at a time, see how it goes, and hopefully we can get this thing off the ground and moving quickly. Real quickly about the show that we're going to do, I'm based in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, so some of the topics might be localized, but we'll also discuss worldwide issues. I'm trying to get my sister to come in and talk about the Malaysia Airlines plane that quote-unquote disappeared. She has some very interesting views on what might have happened and what could have happened, so I'm trying to get her in here so we can talk about that, and we'll post that. So we're going to talk about a lot of issues on this show, the basic issues such as music, sports, women, sex, video games, technology, things like that, and anything else that comes up during a week or anything else that comes up in the world. We're going to hit on all types of topics, so it's not just a show for sports heads. Not just a show for music people. I'm trying to hit every type of listener. Keep a lot of people interested. You can subscribe to my podcast on my website. Website is straighttalks.com. That's STR8-talks.com. On the Contact Us page is a button to subscribe to the podcast, so every week when I upload a new episode, it'll download directly to your computer if you subscribe to our feed. I'm going to try to put up a new show every Thursday, try to record it on Sunday, and then get it all edited, and then try to post it on Thursdays. So every Thursday, you'll probably get a new feed from me. You can also hit me up on Twitter. The @ Straight Talk, same way as the website is spelled, STR8TALKS. So @ Straight Talks. song playing in the background is by Rock Marciano. It's a song called 456 featuring Action Bronson. It's off his album Merci Beaucoup. If you haven't picked that up or heard it, it's nice. Lots of nice beats, lots of good lyrics, lots of rappers you never heard of. I think Apollo Brown is on it, and some guys from England. Song called Willie Manchester is pretty hot too. So if you haven't picked that up, download it, listen to it. But I always like, after I download it, if it's a good album, I'll always buy it so you can support the listeners trying to make some money as well. So that's the business side. The me side is a little bit more complex. And as you keep listening throughout this journey, you will get to know me a little bit better. Since I'm sports oriented, I gotta lay down what teams I back and why. But the why is very important. The why you back a team is very important to me. Because I know guys that they like a player that plays for a certain team, so now they like that team, which is okay. But when that player gets traded, now they like the team that he got traded to. And then you're going to talk to me about the reason this and the reason that. I know guys that like 6, 7, 8 teams in one league. Like, how is that even possible? Like, it's one thing to like different players in the league, but to back 6, 7, 8 teams? Like, I don't understand how you can do that. But, you know, people out there doing it. I know a lot of front runners that just pick the team, whichever team's rolling, they just pick them. I'm a Heat fan. I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan. I'm a Blackhawks fan. Who won the Stanley Cup last year anyway? Who won the Stanley Cup last year? Chicago? Yeah, Chicago. I'm a Blackhawks fan. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. I know guys like that. I mean, guys in the 90s were Bulls fans. And then now in the 2000s, they're Yankees and Pats and Spurs fans. And then now they're Heat and Seahawks fans. And it's like, you change teams more than people change their underwear, man. It's like, come on now. Like, pick a team and stick. That's why the why is important to me. Because every team that I like, you can tattoo that on my skin because it's not going to change. And there's a reason why I like those teams. You know, it's not just some willy-nilly thing. Like, you know, they won 60 games, so now I'm going to back them. Or I know guys that are like, they like the Spurs 1 year, and then they like the Heat the next year, and then the Spurs win the next year. And then I say, hey, man, you were a Heat fan last year. What happened? Oh, no, man. I like the Spurs from a long time. What are you talking about? Those type of guys. I don't think they're fans. You know what I mean? They just want to get involved in the conversation. So to have talks, they just pick the best team to have talks, right? But I'm a guy that I pick my teams, and that's it. Like I said, you can tattoo that in ink on my skin because it's not going to change, and I won't feel any way of having it on my skin. So getting into the teams that I like, okay, in the NBA. I'm a New York Knicks fan. I've been a New York Knicks fan since Ewing was drafted by New York. I liked Ewing when he played at Georgetown. I liked the Georgetown basketball team. Mainly because back then, black coach, all black players. Everybody hated them because they were all black. They recruited this kid named Patrick Ewing from Jamaica. Everybody said, oh, this seven foot kid looks like an ape. This black team doesn't have any manners. They're so undisciplined, untrained. John Thompson said, okay, if that's how you think we are, that's how we're going to play. And Patrick Ewing was the star of that team. He's a star of the college ranks while he was there. And he dominated in the NBA. I don't care what anyone says. He was probably the most dominant center of that era. And the Bulls were winning championships and all types of stuff. But he was the best center. I know he had Rick Smits back then too, but he was the most dominant center. Even with Hakeem Olajuwon in the league, he was dominant. Like, he was the go-to guy. He's the mellow. He was the mellow. When you need a bucket, you go to Patrick. And I loved Ewing in Georgetown. And when he got drafted by the Knicks, that's it. I'm done. So I've been a Knicks fan ever since times like that. NHL, Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I mean, I can't get away from it. I live in Toronto. There's not really much I can do about that. I mean, I've been watching them since I was a little kid. At jerseys and, you know, you get the Toronto Maple Leaf hockey stick for Christmas. And when you break it, you cry and all types of shit like that. So that's, there's no really explanation about that. That's the hometown team. You got to love them. And that being said, I used to be a Raptors fan, since that's the hometown team here. But the years of losing, the years of all this nonsense that they were pulling, I had enough of it. And I was a Knicks fan because we didn't have a basketball team anyway here. So I picked it. I was a Knicks fan. But even when they got the Toronto Raptors came to the NBA, I watched because it's Toronto. Toronto has a basketball team. It's exciting now. The Knicks are going to come to town. I can go watch. I can go see the Knicks play. I was a fan. But don't get me wrong. I'm not a hater. Because throughout this podcast and other podcasts, it's going to come off like I'm a hater for the Raptors. I'm not a hater of the Raptors. Not at all. I'm just not a fan. I used to be a fan, but the disappointment's too much. It's 20 years now they've been in the league and they've been into the playoffs. Well, I think this is the second or third time. I'm not even sure. And they've never won a playoff. Well, actually, they did win a round. They beat the Knicks, didn't they? I think they did. But still, I mean, that's not good. That doesn't show me that you're a successful franchise. 20 years making the playoffs three times. That's not a successful franchise to me. And when you go down to the ACC, which is the arena that they play in, every year the ticket prices go up. Every year the concession prices go up. You're putting an inferior product on the court, and you charge probably up there top 10 in the most expensive ticket prices. Like, and I know the Toronto Maple Leafs are guilty of that because they were terrible for a long time. And I mean, to go to a game, you need $200 just to go to a game. $25 to park, $150 for the ticket, $25 for a beer. Like, you get raped at the ACC when you're watching the Leafs play, but the place is packed, so they can do whatever they want. They could put five monkeys on the ice with skates, and people won't come to see the monkeys play hockey. They'll come to see the Toronto Maple Leaf sweater they're wearing. And that's why MLSC, which is Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, can get away with doing all this rubbish. Charging more for beer. Increasing the prices of seats. I can't wait to see what the prices are next year for Raptors tickets. I can't wait to see what they are. But, like I said, not a hater, just not a fan. Because the MLSC is running this team and running all the sports teams they own in this city like a business. And I know they're in it to make money and all that jazz, but at the same time, you got to make it affordable so people can go and support your team. Okay? All right, so getting moving on. We've gone through NBA, we've gone through NHL. NFL, Baltimore Ravens fan. Reason, he used to live there. Lived there from the mid-90s to about 2003. I lived there when they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. So I had no intentions of coming back to Toronto at the time, so that's the hometown football team, Baltimore Ravens. So I watched them from 95 when they came in the league to 2003 when I left. That's my football team. I was there when they moved from Cleveland, like I said. I was there when they won the Super Bowl. And let me tell you something. Everybody says, oh, when the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup, the party's going to go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And say, yeah, that's true. That's true. But let me tell you something. If you have the opportunity to go to a city that has a team in the Super Bowl, and that team that and the city you're in, that's that team wins the Super Bowl, yeah, go to that party. Do yourself a favor and go to that party. I lived in Baltimore when they won the Super Bowl, like I said. That party went on for a good 3 or 4 days. No lie. 3 or 4 days that party went on. And when I say it went on hard. Like, hard it went on. The game was on Sunday. The game was on a Sunday. I remember we were watching at a buddy's place. As soon as the final, the clock ticked down to 0-0-0, I was straight in the car, straight downtown. I mean, we could have stayed downtown and drank and eaten and drank for 3 days straight. And I mean, you go to work the next day and there's like four people at work. Whereas, and the four people at work aren't football fans. So, you know where everybody is. So, that's why I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Because that's for me, it's kind of a roundabout way my hometown team. EPL, English Premier Soccer League. I'm an Arsenal fan. People always ask me, why are you an Arsenal fan? They don't win anything. They play the prettiest soccer, but they don't win. And I say that's exactly why. They play the prettiest soccer. I mean, I've been playing soccer since I was 5 years old. I'm 38 now, and I'm still playing. So I like to think that I know the game. And I like to think I know how the game's played correctly and properly. And I think Arsenal plays the game correctly and properly. Got teams like Man City, teams like Chelsea that go out and they spend. They buy the best players, buy the best players. Sure, they're going to win. If eventually you're going to win games. Manchester City won one game, I think last year, I think when Tevez was on the team. They had $200,000 or pounds, $200,000 worth of players on the bench. And about, and I forget them, the number of millions of pounds that was on the field. And they lost. They lost the game that I watched. It's £200,000 of salary on the bench. And I forget the, like I said, I forget the millions of dollars that was on the field and they lost. And even the year they won the Premier League, they only won it on goal differential. You have a multi-billion dollar team with all these salaries and all these big players, Balotelli, Tevez, Company, Silva, Yaya Toure, this Nasri, this guy, that guy. And you're winning the league on goal differential because you scored one more goal than the team below you? I don't know. I just think Arsenal does it the right way. They don't overly spend. If there's a like Arsene Wenger's a coach of the team. He says if there's a player out there that's worth $50 million and we have an opportunity to get him, I'll pay it. No problem. But I'm not going to pay $30 million for a guy who's had one good season. He had a good season last year. So now, you know, his contract's up. Now I got to pay him. I got to pay you $30 million to bring him to my team. He had one good season. Why am I going to do that? And teams do that all the time. Look at Torres. Look at, I want to say Rafi Torres. Not Rafi Torres, the hockey player. Fernando Torres from Chelsea. £50 million they paid to bring him over. Rubbish player now. Career finished. Career's done. £50 million they bought him for, Chelsea. £50 million. £50 million they bought him for. 50. Rubbish player now. Career done. So I'm an Arsenal fan because I believe they keep the integrity of the game. They play it the right way. They don't overspend. They spend within their limits, and they put a successful team on the field. Now they might not win everything. They might not win anything. But it's always up and down, live and die with this team, and that's. I mean, I've liked them for 15 going on 15 years now, so it's not going to change. And And everyone out there, when they lose, the mood changes. When they win, smile can't leave your face. That's just the way. That's the way I like them. So. And we have an MLS team here, Major League Soccer, the North American Soccer League. I'm a TFC fan. Used to have season tickets and go to every game and whatnot, but it gets tiring when the team wins 6 games in one season and the tickets are expensive and the beers are $14. And it gets a little bit... You feel like you're getting taken. And it's just funny that the Raptors, Leafs, and Toronto FC are both owned, or all three of them are owned by MLSC, which is Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. They for years, they've been putting out an inferior product on whatever surface they play on, whether it be the ice, the floor, or the pitch. And just funny how prices always seem to increase the next year. So I had tickets. I had season tickets for about the TFC for about... Was this their 8th year, their 7th year? 6 years, 5 years, 5 or 6 years, I had season tickets. Just renew, whatever. They came out to us 1 year and they said, you know what? We won 7 games last year, but we're going to do way better this year. So, you know what? We're going to have to increase your ticket prices. And I'm reading this email and I'm at work. I'm reading this email and I'm drinking a coffee and I almost spit it all over my keyboard. Hey, TFC's raising their prices? Hey, how can someone write this email and actually press send? So they said at the end of the email, it was, yeah, do you still want to renew? Click no. I don't want your tickets. And I think a lot of people's click no. Because 2 weeks later, there was a big announcement that they were lowering the prices back to the first year that TFC was around. And for those of you that don't know, when TFC first came out, you can get season tickets for $250 for all the home games. For 18 games, they were $250 or $200 or $250. That's what we paid first year. They didn't know how it was going to be taken by the people here because it's a hockey town. They didn't know if soccer was going to take off like it did. So they were giving out season tickets, I think 2 seats for $500. So you go in with a buddy, $250 each, and you can go to every home game. So you go to the stadium and it holds 18,000, and there's 18,000 people there drinking beer, having a good time in the sun in the summer, having a good ass time. Like the first 2 years was fun. Forget the soccer. Who cares if they're good? I mean, this is a party here. And then the years go by, and the third year they're shit. The fourth year they're shittier. The fifth year they're the shittiest. And it's like, now things change a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, your finances change a little bit. Maybe you have more money to spend. Maybe you don't have maybe you don't have the same amount of money to spend. Who knows what happened to you? But, you know, and the prices steadily creep up. $50 here, $50 there. Now your tickets that were $250, now they're $500 for the season. And the next year, you know, $550. And then the next year, $625. And then the next year, $730. All of a sudden, you're paying $800 for the seat now. And this team wins 5 games a season. Team's terrible. Why am I giving these guys $800 of my dollars? I don't even want to go anymore because you have to park now is $25 at the CNE. So it's $25 to park, whatever you pay for the ticket, whatever it works out for the ticket. Beers are $13 and the team's shit. So why? So I said, here, take your tickets back. I don't want them. Not interested anymore. And I was... Last season, I didn't go to one single TFC game. Not one. If someone said, here, I have free tickets, do you want to go? I would say, no. No thanks. It's not fun for me anymore because I actually want to see these guys win. So this year, TFC comes out. A new president at MLSC, Tim Lewicki. It was in LA. He oversaw the LA Kings win the Cup, the LA Galaxy win MLS, and blah, blah, blah. He comes in and he says, you know what? I'm going to turn this team around. I'm going to take some money and we're going to buy players. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard this before. What are you going to buy? We're going to get Jermaine Defoe from Tottenham. Okay, whatever. Boom. He brought in Jermaine Defoe from Tottenham. Okay. Who else? I'm going to get Michael Bradley. Yeah, Michael Bradley's pretty good. Actually, Michael Bradley's a lot good. He can pull that off. That'd be a major. Boom. They bring him in. Okay. Now they're filling the roster with this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy, getting rid of the guys that are shit and bringing in guys that are actually pretty decent. And you know what? There's a lot of buzz around the city for this team now. So you're thinking, okay, let's see what these guys got. First game of the season, they go on the road to somewhere they'd never won before, and they win 2-1. Jermaine Defoe scores 2 goals, and everyone's taken aback now. And it's like, we're so starved for a winner in the city that we win one game away from home in a place we've never won before, and it's stopped the presses. Everybody go out and run and get TFC jerseys. We're winning this whole thing. It's like, slow down. It's 34 more games to go. This shit could roll off the rails real fast. It's MLSC we're talking about here. But, they won their next game. Now they're 2-0. They won their next game. Defoe scored again at home against DC United. Now we're 2-0, and it's like, and then everyone's losing their shit now. Oh, my God, we're going to win this whole thing. But for me, looking back at it, I feel like we're the Chelsea or the Man Cities of the MLS. We just went out and spent like almost $100 million on players and brought them in. You know what I mean? And it's like, we're the Chelsea or the Man City of the MLS. And teams and other fans are going to hate us. When we go and play in another stadium, they are going to hate us. But what are you going to do? So now, as we sit right now, they're 3-3. They didn't play this week. They had the week off. They're three wins and three losses. Jermaine Defoe's been hurt for about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks now. So my whole thing is no Defoe, no goals. No the goals, no win. So we'll see if they play this Saturday, actually, the May 3rd. They play at home. So we'll see how that goes. But an MLSE team not performing, it's not shocking. MLB. I'm a Toronto Blue Jays fan, which is pretty painful as well. Back in the 90s when they won this World Series back-to-back, it's great times. But since then, it's been interesting. Last 2 or 3 seasons, they've actually put money into the team. But it's one thing to put money into the team, and it's another thing to spend the money correctly, spend the money properly. I think we kind of fell into, I think the Blue Jays fell into that trap of not spending the money smart. Oh, yeah, he won a Cy Young. You won a Cy Young last year? Yeah, bring him. Yeah. How much? Yeah, no problem. Here, give it to him. And you bring him in and he shit the bed. He shit the bed last year and he's shitting the bed this year. And I'm talking about R.A. Dickey. That knuckleball is a gimmick pitch. I'm not a guy that's into the gimmick type pitches or gimmick type aspects of any sport. But the knuckleball's a gimmick. If you're gonna throw the knuckleball 85% of the time, honestly, you're gonna get drilled in the AL East. When you have to play the Yankees and the Red Sox and Tampa Bay and Baltimore with their hitters, and you're throwing a 70-mile-an-hour knuckleball, sure, it's going to flutter every now and then, but the one time it doesn't, it's going to end up on Blue Jay Way. It's going to go through the top of the roof. If the roof's open, I feel bad for the people on the Gardner, because Chris Davis is going to pump that thing into the lake. So I don't know what the Jays are going to do. They lost again today to the Red Sox. The pitching staff's ridiculous. It's terrible. They can hit a lot. They hit fantastic. They hit a lot of home runs. And that was the problem last year. They hit a lot of home runs, but they're one-run home runs. There's no one on base. No one gets on base. No one bunts. Nobody steals. Nobody hits a single. Nobody hits a double. You know? Anytime we have players in scoring position, we have two outs. We have a guy on third, but we have two outs. You know what I mean? We got John McDonald up the bat. Great. So I hit a lot of home runs, but I don't know. There's never usually anybody on base, but so yeah, I mean, living in Toronto, being a sports fan, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, we don't win anything, but it's very interesting. I had a friend of mine actually that lives in the States call me, and we were talking about a little bit about sports, and he's talking about Toronto's the Cleveland of Canada. And I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, we've won before. I mean, we've won Stanley Cups, but that was before I was even born. I mean, we've won World Series. I mean, our basketball team hasn't won anything, or our soccer team hasn't won anything, hasn't even made the playoffs in 7 years. And Leafs don't do anything either, so. But at least we have a history of winning. But I really couldn't argue with him, to tell you the truth. We don't win. So it's kind of hard to argue with anybody that says anything like that. But getting back to what I started off talking about anyway, and why I'm these fans, TFC and Toronto, TFC and the Blue Jays, I'm fans because we're Toronto, because we live in Toronto, and that's a hometown team. But yeah, those are the reasons why I like the teams that I like. And I like talking sports with people that have similar stories. I like the Jets because my dad took me to the Jets game, and I saw whoever throw a touchdown, and he ran over six guys, and he dove in the air, and he did a helicopter in the air, and he landed on his back, and he got up, and he spiked the ball. And ever since then, I like that guy, so I like the Jets. Something like that. Something like that. But not, I like this guy, and so I like the team. He retires, and it's, oh, who won the NBA championship last year? That's who I like. You're not fans, you're front runners. That's what I think. Anyway. So, big NBA guy over here. I'm a Melo fan. I'm a Melo fan because he plays on the Knicks. If Melo leaves the Knicks, I'm not following. I'm still going to be a Knicks fan. My favorite player on the New York Knicks was John Starks. I'm actually wearing a John Starks jersey right now. He got traded to, I believe it was the Bulls. I didn't become a Bulls fan. I'm a Knicks fan. It sucks he got traded. I don't want to see him do poorly. But when he's playing the Knicks, I don't want him to score 30. And if Melo leaves, okay. Still blue and orange. Still, if I had a Knicks tattoo, I would still show it. The Knicks franchise isn't dead if Melo leaves. The best player in franchise history was, in my time anyway, was Patrick Ewing. He left. They're still in the NBA, so I mean, they managed to survive, so. Yeah, Clyde Frazier left. Willis Reed retired. All these guys are gone, and team's still there. I mean, if LeBron James left the Miami Heat, I think the Heat would fold. And there's another funny thing that comes to mind when I'm talking about the Miami Heat. They've been the most dominant team in the NBA for the last, what, they've been to the NBA Finals the last 3 years. That's a pretty good feat. Pretty good. It's more than pretty good. It's a great feat. But riddle me this. How come Eric Spoelstra is never in the runnings for Coach of the Year? He's not even in the top 10 when it comes to voting for Coach of the Year. Why is that? When I ask that question to some people, I tell, oh, because he's got LeBron James. Like, what does that have to do with coaching? Well, you got the best player, so you just give him the ball and he scores. Well, no. I mean, Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan. He won a couple of coaches of the year. I believe he won coach of the year too when he was in LA. So how come Spoelstra is not even in the, he's not even in the talks for sport for coach of the year? But that's just an aside. I don't know. But the Miami Heat basketball team could fold tonight, and I would go out and buy champagne and pop it. I hate the Heat. Hate the Heat. Hate the Pacers. Both those teams could, you know. But I don't know. Things are going to be different now because Geppetto, for those of you that don't know, I call David Stern Geppetto because he's pulling the strings. Trust me. He's pulling the strings. If the Heat need to win, the Heat will win. If the Spurs need to win, the Spurs will win. And that all comes down to marketing and money. Because if you were to play the sport in basketball, play it fairly. The odd year you're gonna have a Memphis versus Atlanta NBA final. You have to. It has to work. Eventually, it has to work out like that. You can't just keep having the best team in the West versus the best team in the East every year. Something going on there. That's why I call him Geppetto. He's pulling the strings. He's telling the refs what to do. Honest, this is what I think. I mean, it may not be true, but this is what I think. From watching NBA for as many years as I've been watching it, that's what I think. He's pulling strings, and people are doing what he says. Now he's out. Now he retired. I think he was in that position for 30 years or so. And now we have son of Geppetto taking over the league. And son of Geppetto, Adam Silver, has a very big decision to make right as we speak right now. If y'all haven't heard, owner of the LA Clippers, Donald Sterling, made some pretty outrageous comments about black people. I think just got released by his air quote girlfriend, saying that she actually, long story short, she took a picture with Magic Johnson, and posted it on her Instagram. And he freaked out. Why are you taking pictures of black people, but why are you promoting that you're hanging around with black people? You don't have to promote that you hang around black people. And by the way, don't bring any black people to my games. The man said, don't bring any black people to my games. This is funny to me. Yeah, laugh, Vincent, laugh. How do you not bring black people to a basketball game? Like, don't bring, like, what? I don't understand. How, like, don't bring any of your black friends? Like, have you seen the court? Have you seen the benches? Have you seen the coaches? They're all black. No? I don't know what Adam Silver is going to do about this, but he's got to do something fast, and he's got to do something swift, and he's got to do something hard, and can't be a little slap on the wrist. Who was it? I think it was it Barkley today or yesterday? Said, it was Magic Johnson, actually, who had it on Twitter, who said, he said, I feel sorry for, like, Doc Rivers and Chris Paul. Like, how do you go out and represent? This is your owner of the team that you play for. How do you go out and play for this team now? LA Clippers, I don't watch the LA Clippers. I think they have JJ Redick. Is their white guy? I'm not sure if he's the only white guy on the team, but, like, how do you go out and play for a guy who says this? Don't promote that you hang out with black people, and don't bring any of your black friends to my games. How does DeAndre Jordan lace up his shoes and go out and dunk and, you know, salute the crowd and run up and down for knowing that this guy's his owner? It's crazy. taking it back to the Marge Schott days, man. It's crazy. I don't know what honestly, I'm the type of person that, you know what? I wouldn't play. That's the type of person I am. I know I have a contract. You want to rip it up? No problem. Any player on the LA Clippers can find another team to play for. And Magic said it best, man. How do you being a black person, they deal with that? Like I said, I know what I would do. And it involves packing my bags and going to the Bahamas. You want to find me, find me. You want to rip up my contract? That'd be perfect. Because I'm sure Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and them guys can get team anywhere. But it'd be very interesting to see the reaction when they play next. I'm not sure when they do play. I think maybe tomorrow. It'd be quite interesting to see what happens when that game starts. So moving on to the other half of the NBA playoffs. Living in Toronto, we're finally in the playoffs. And you know what? I watched the Raptors the last 20 games of the season. They were balling. Let me tell you. They were playing pretty good basketball. And I'm happy that they're in the playoffs, actually. And I'm happy that they're doing well. Like I said, not a hater, but I'm still not a fan. But they wear Toronto on their jersey, and I'm from Toronto, so it's kind of a good thing for us to get a little bit of exposure, because everyone still thinks that it's polar bears and ice up here, so got to show them that we have a little bit more than that. Now, getting back to a little bit what I said earlier, and still sticking with the Raptors and the NBA playoffs, they're playing the New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. KG, Paul Pierce, Joe Johnson, and Coach Killer Darren Williams. Okay? I mean, it's a good squad 5 years ago. Kevin Garnett's not doing anything on the court. Kevin Garnett is just, he's acting the fool. He's that guy when you go to the YMCA that used to be good and isn't that good right now. So he just talks. He just tries to intimidate you so that you don't go at him and that you don't make him look bad. Boy, if you get that ball, I'm going to smack you in your head so hard. Boy, you better pass it out when you get that ball, because I'm going to hit you as hard as I. He's that guy. He's the old guy at the YMCA that's telling you that. Until you actually turn around and say, yeah, okay. Hit me in the head. I'm blown by you. And then see what he can do with that. That's what I think Kevin Garnett is right now. And I think he should retire. Kevin Garnett is a bully. And he's always been a bully. Case in point. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Of course. He's the type of guy that will come into Toronto in the last couple of years. He'll come and play against the Raptors, which whatever team he was playing for, team was he on? Boston. Come in with Boston. He'll pick on TJ Ford. He'll pick on Calderon. And even to an extent, I think he was talking shit to Vince Carter at one point too. Those are the guys he knows aren't going to turn around and say anything. The guys that are going to turn around and hit him, and the guys that are going to be a little bit afraid when he's around. Let him try that shit with someone like Steven Jackson. I will change my opinion of Kevin Garnett if he would trash talk Steven Jackson. If he would trash talk, Who else is a tough guy? Like guys like Ron Artest. You want to trash talk Ron Artest? Oh my God, I would pay top dollar to see that. You want to go after little guys that you know aren't gonna do anything to you? That's a bully to me. Now whether you want to call it, oh, he's so intense, he's so in the game, he's intimidating, he's doing, he's a bully, straight up bully. Okay. had an incident with him. Well, Carmelo Anthony had an incident with him at Madison Square Garden. I'm sure y'all know about the Honey Nut Cheerio thing. Melo said, okay, buddy, no problem. Waited for him at the bus. Kevin Garnett never came out. Why? Where is he? Half your team's on the bus. Where's Kevin Garnett? Rumor has it he was hiding in the bathroom. Or the washroom. I mean, I don't believe that, but where was he? Bus is getting ready to leave. Where's the only guy? There's three guys not on the bus, and one of them's Kevin Garnett. Melo's back there waiting for you. Come out. But whatever, man. Bullies don't expect people to call them out on their shit. And when they do get called out, that's what happens. Yeah, let me take another shower, actually. You know what? I feel a little bit sweaty. I'm gonna take another shower. And hopefully in that time this whole thing is diffused and I can run on the bus and get the hell out of here. That's pretty much Kevin Garnett to me. Now, he might be the nicest guy in the world off the court, but all I see him is on the court. And I think he's just a fucking bully. Straight up. He's a loud talking, no action bully. And Paul Pierce is starting to get into that that realm as well. So that's what I think about the. I mean, I don't mind the Brooklyn Nets. I'm a New York Knicks fan, and that's the rivalry now, Brooklyn and New York. That's fine. I don't mind them, but I just hate those two guys. I hate those two guys, so it makes the rivalry even more intense for me, which is fine. I mean, if they play the Brooklyn Nets on a Wednesday, if the Knicks play the Brooklyn Nets on a Wednesday night, from Sunday I'm getting hype. Because I just don't like those two guys. Don't like Pierce. I don't like Garnett. But getting back to the Raptors in the playoffs, I think they're playing well. They're lots of turnovers. If they cut out the turnovers, they're probably up in this series, not down 2-1. They're probably up 2-1. Maybe even 3-0. All the games were close. All the games they lost were close. They were close up until a certain point. And getting back to David Stern and pulling the strings, explain to me how a team like the Brooklyn Nets, with all their, I don't even know if this is a word, you hear it every day on the radio, you hear it every day on TV and sportscasters. They say the word physicality. I got to look it up. I don't even know if, is it a word, physicality? But I'll look it up and on the next podcast, I'll let you know. But I'm going to use it anyway. With all the physicality that the Brooklyn Nets pose against the Toronto Raptors, especially late in the games. I mean, I understand the referees kind of put their whistle away when it's the fourth quarter, I mean, and it's a tight game. Let the players decide it. I got it. But I've never seen a team not commit one foul in a quarter of basketball. The way that they play, it's like the Pistons, the Bad Boys team, not getting a foul in a quarter. Impossible. How do you not commit one foul in 12 minutes in a basketball game? I don't understand. Now, if it was called both ways like that, whatever. But they're calling ticky-tacky fouls on the Raptors in the fourth quarter. And I'm not a Raptors apologist. I'm just watching it as I see it. But they're calling ticky-tacky fouls on the Raptors. Men are getting mugged. No fouls. The way they play, it's impossible for them not to call fouls. It's like, how can anyone go a game without getting any fouls? And that's happened. LeBron James played three games. 3 full basketball games. Actually, I don't know what minutes he played, but it's LeBron James, it's the Miami Heat, it's Eric Spoelstra, so I'm betting he's playing the majority of the game. I'm saying he sat out maybe 5 minutes in the game. How can an NBA player play 3 straight games and not get called for a foul? Is his defense that good? I don't think so. I actually don't think he plays any defense. If you actually sit down and watch him play defense, I mean, in a 48-minute game, half the time he's not playing defense. I don't know if that's because, well, actually, I don't know why it is. That's just what I see. He wins Defensive Player of the Year, sure, but, I mean, that's a popularity contest, just like the All-Star voting. NBA wants to sell their league. You're not going to make fucking Landry Fields Defensive Player of the Year. You're going to make LeBron James to add another credential and another $10 to his shoe. So now it's $299 instead of $289, and you can sell it to China because LeBron James is Defensive Player of the Year. He's the MVP. They won the rings and blah, 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 blah. He's the everything player of the league. He's the Wayne Gretzky. He's the Sidney Crosby. He's the Peyton Manning. You got a star, you got to run with it. Give him whatever he wants. Give him MVPs. Give him whatever. Even though he doesn't deserve it, just give it to him. Who cares? If it was up to David Stern, he would win the scoring title every year. Even Charles Barkley said, it's impossible to play one game. He said one game without getting a foul. It's impossible. 3, though? Something's going on there, man. Something's going on there. Fucking hate the Heat. I hate the Heat. Hate the Heat. But that's just me. Wow, I've been talking about that for a while. Didn't hit half the stuff that I wanted to, but I mean, subscribe to the podcast. I'll probably do another one. I'm trying to do one a week. And like I said, I'll put them up every Thursday. Try to get this edited and up by maybe actually Tuesday. So if I can get it up earlier, you can check the website and it should be there. If you're already listening to it, you already have it. So every Thursday I'll put up a new one. Now you know. Next week, we'll probably try and talk about the Malaysia Airlines. Like I said, I'm trying to get my sister to come in and talk to us about that. We talked about it on the phone. She's got some very interesting views on what could have happened. I have some views on what could have happened. And Raptors play their playoff game tomorrow, which is Sunday. I don't know what time it is. And I'll also be interested to see what happens in the Clippers game. After the owner said what he said. Might have a guest call in next week as well. Not sure. So I'm trying to get that in the works. But we'll be talking a little bit. It's more that the next week's show is probably going to be more about social issues and things like that. I'm not getting too deep into stuff, but relationships and maybe a little bit of music, a little bit of sports. We're going to hit the gamut next week, the whole gamut next week. So that's that. So thank you for listening. And I'm going to leave you with a song called Storm Clouds. It's by a guy named Haslo, Has-LO. He runs with a crew called the Mellow Music Group. If you haven't heard of these guys, I mean, this is the type of music I like. Heavy, heavy, heavy beats, good lyrics, guys you never heard of before, just spitting and ripping, trying to make it. I mean, it's not Kanye West bullshit. It's not, definitely not Macklemore bullshit. There's good rappers out there. There's very good rappers out there, man. You just have to look and you have to be open. Like, turn your radios off. Turn your radios off. Go online and go to YouTube and just type in underground hip hop and see what comes up. And then start listening to these type of songs. All right, so thanks for listening, and I'll leave you with this right now. It's called, like I said, it's called Storm Clouds by Haslow, and we'll catch you next week.
Sunlight fades, cause the palms of my hands absorb the solar rays to engulf the earth and flame the last days. A micromolecular specs, the next phase, the evolution, Haslam hybrid, humanoid fusion, muscle mass balloon, iron glaze, armor skin, black ebony blend, slang phrase, transform my braids to razor blades, the hack off your mic hand, blood splash, the stage faces shock, crowd still swayed hypnotically, policy, that of operative Steve. Anonymous, infrared, seeing silhouette, where the problem is, throwing heads, photograph, math in the software, choreograph routines across air, bring rains to cool down the surface of the planet, anyone alive is left stranded, when the storm clouds swarm the sky, swarm the sky.
Plates touch something very delicate. When you oppose, I cough sharp ends on wood.